Hello.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, welcome to another week of Keep Your Gin Up.
Our favorite day of the week.
Yes, this week you have us just by ourselves again.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're fabulous. And you don't need anyone else. So we're here today to tell you some hilarious stories. We did a little poll on Instagram and everyone seemed to want some nursing stories and some dating stories. So we're gonna mix this episode up and give you half dating stories, half nursing stories to keep you all interested.
That actually cracked me up, that poll. I didn't know she was doing that poll.
Yeah.
And then I was keeping up with all the tabs and I was like, oh, what are people interested in? I was like, wow, they like really want to hear about our dating life. That's hilarious.
Like, what was it? 25 people or something voted to be like for dating.
Yeah.
And there was two for the other one. And I was like, oh, so definitely dating.
Fair call. But I mean, when you're living as a nomad and trying to date, I mean, you get some cracker stories, I tell you.
Yeah. And even just like in life in general, since being single, I've had some hilarious stories like dating through COVID and all that stuff. It's just, I went on so many walking dates,
I mean, dating through COVID is already quite an interesting dating life.
Yeah.
I've been single longer than you. So you obviously been single since COVID started.
Yeah, since COVID. So like, I haven't really experienced it.
I've been single before COVID. Mm. Like that's like a different generation right there.
Yeah.
Like it is different. It's a different
generation.
I don't know what the word was.
It's a different life.
Different life.
It's a different time.
Very different time. It was like a different era. Okay?
It was. It was like back in the thousands or something. People, the noughties.
Like, people are socially weird now. They like don't know how to date because they're freaking out. They're like, oh my God. Like,
well, I think because all these people became single through COVID and now they're all single and they're like, what is dating?
And dating's already freaking hard.
Yeah, it's a whirlwind.
But I go through dating and I go through it as a very positive like outlook. Like I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like you joke a lot about me just like dating a lot. Like,
yeah, but you're a pro.
You say I'm a pro dater. I don't feel like I'm a pro dater at all, but
I'm a shit dater. So that's in comparison to me.
I love to
I poo my little panties every time.
You do poo your little panties. You pooed your little panties the other day. It was funny.
Not literally. I didn't. Guys, I mean, okay.
She couldn't go on the date because she
pooed. I mean, like maybe I did have to wipe myself up a little bit.
No. But like that's the thing as well. It was an online dating guy you were talking to. He'd organized dinner. And I was like, stop being a little bitch.
But I was getting ready and then he asked me to come over to his house and he didn't want to go out. And I was like, you ruined it. Next.
I hyped her up and I was like, come on, girl. Stop being a little pussy and do it. So she actually had a shower and she was like, okay, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to do it. And I was so proud. So I was like, you know, trying to keep chill. And then, he ruined it by being like, want Netflix and chill.
And I was like, mate, I just got out of my PJs for you. That's a no.
I know. What a douche. Anyway.
Here we are already getting distracted from the main highlight of this
episode. We're talking about dating. That's the topic of the podcast.
And I must say that we've had two beers downstairs. Mm-hmm. Downstairs.
Where did that come from? Downstairs.
Like I'm a Kiwi accent back.
She actually is Kiwi.
We went downstairs for some beer.
Wow.
And we had some wings.
Two beers and the wings and the little Kiwi accent comes out.
So yeah, we went downstairs to our favorite place called Hellcat. Oh, shout out to place. Hellcat.
Love that.
And shout out to our fave bartender Rory, if you ever if you know, you know. So we had some wings and beer because we needed to have a little bit of, you know, pep up before our podcast tonight.
Yes.
So sorry if we're a little bit crazy, extra crazy than normal.
We just like to talk about, like, I mean, I finished work. I did a 10-hour shift. I just didn't want to be there anymore. I just wanted to come home, put my pants on.
Take the pants
off. I was wearing pants. Like, I work, obviously. I meant put my actual pants on, you know, my going PJs. Out pants.
Actually, we're wearing the same pants right now. Oh, yeah. We're wearing fluoro pink track
pants. We're wearing a matchy.
And we're both wearing gray jumpers. Oh, my God, what?
Okay, we're going
to
take
a photo. We have to take a photo of this. We'll show you guys.
And Zana doesn't have a hole in her crotch today.
No, it is fully functional, sewn up.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Like my actual
Those China. Last pants were hilarious.
And we're actually drinking. I can't click the little eyes together. I was trying to give you a little sound.
It's called Keep Your Gin Up. So ready? You do it to your own microphone.
Oh, hey. So here we are drinking a wine, a little cute Pinot Grigio that we bought from this amazing wine festival that we went to last week. We ended up buying so much wine. I ended up accidentally signing up to a wine club.
Yeah. She comes up to me. She's like, Jess.
They were there.
We're
going to
get wine delivered. every was it 4 8 weeks?
8 weeks.
Every 8 weeks, we're gonna get a box. I was like, whoa.
We were standing there all together, like, and I was getting sucked in, and I was like, should we do this? And Jess was like, I don't know, because Jess was already like fucked by that point. So she was going off to the next place to get some chocolate, and I was there by myself, and I got sucked in, and I was like, yeah, sure, sign me up. You can't be trusted. I can't be trusted around wine.
In all fairness, I went to the gym tent, and this guy, I just got like this single radar, I think, that just goes out. Just goes pew, 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 pew. And he knew I was single.
How's it go?
Pew. It definitely does that. Anyway, I went to this tent, and I mean, he was flirting hard with me. Mm. He was flirting hard. Anyway, he was giving us like gin little tasters.
Yeah.
And then I was like asking if I could have some more tonic, like some more chasers with it. Cause I was like, damn, that was strong. I was like, can I have a bit more of the tonic? And then what did I say?
No, you said, I need to have something with this. And then right. So you just decided to pour more vodka in, and then you were like, no. And he's like, you didn't specify what you wanted with it.
Yeah, I meant tonic. And then he was being flirty. And I got royally messed up. So, but I didn't get to the point where I was flashing my credit card. Like, Zana, you're
flashing your crutch. No, so they're going to say
credit card
or crutch.
We got home, you bought a lot of stuff. How much salami meat did you buy?
I bought a lot. I bought like 3 bags of biltong and yeah.
We've had like 1/8 of that. About
like 5 cheeses, some figs.
Random biscuits.
Olives.
We ate all the olives, though.
That was delicious. Anyway, again, we need to get back to on track. So, I'll spill the tea today.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyone who hasn't listened before, Spill the Tea is basically something interesting, happy, sad, anything that's happened in our week that has made an impact on our week and something that's happened to us. So, I had like a mini meltdown this week, actually, which is my spill the tea. It was really the only thing that's happened to me this week. So Monday, I decided to go see this oral specialist because I have to go get my wisdom teeth out. And because one of my wisdom teeth.
Is oral specialist a real thing? No.
He's a maxillofacial surgeon.
Max Fax.
Is it more Max
Fax? You call it Max Fax.
Okay. So if anyone that doesn't know, it's called
Max Fax.
Oral just
sounds weird. Oral sounds odd. Okay. Max Fax.
Anyway.
Stop, though.
I went to see him because, like, one of my wisdom teeth is very close to the nerve and the other dentist wasn't comfortable taking them out because they didn't want to leave me with facial damage, which is so fair because I also don't want facial damage. So I go to see this guy. He's, like, super sweet. He's, like, 5'2". He's, like, this cute little old man. He was so hilarious. He was making jokes with me the entire time. And he was like, well, we're going to need to get these teeth out. And he's like, oh, I'll leave them with me. I'll keep the wisdom and all this stuff. And I was like, sweet, bro. Sounds good. And then he's like, oh, you're going to go with my friend now. He let me pick a toothbrush. I got to pick a pink sparkly toothbrush.
What?
He's like, you can pick any color. I'm like, obviously I'm gonna go pink. Yeah, and then he gave me this like weird looking, like, it looked like pus in a syringe, but it's actually like anesthetic stuff that you're supposed to put in your gums and stuff when you get it wisdom teeth out. Anyway, he gave me this whole pack.
Well, he better give you a pack from the price of it.
I know. Anyway, so then I go into with this lady. He's like, oh, you're gonna go with my assistant to find out the cost. No, he didn't actually say that, but pretty much is what he was saying. And I went
sounds
in there
like an old dude.
And he booked me in. Yeah, he booked me in this appointment, and I was like, yes, wait. And she like stapled the thing into the book and then showed me. She's like, okay, so it gone between $200 just for him. I was like, oh. She's like, okay, then you're gonna have your hospital excess, and then they're also gonna have to pay the anesthetist on top, but we don't have a contact with the anesthetist, so you gotta call him separately and see how much they cost. And I was like, sorry, what? $2,200 plus hospital cover plus anesthetist. And I was like, dude, I'm gonna be out like $4,000 or $5,000. And I was like, I don't have $4,000 or $5,000. Like, what? Like, how does anyone get ahead in this life? No. And then they had the audacity to say that I had to be picked up by a responsible adult from my surgery because I can't go home alone. And I had a meltdown because the date that I booked in, Jess was already on. I checked her roster and I was like, okay, so the only person that I know is Jess. I live in Brisbane by myself. And I had this huge meltdown because I was just like, I am actually alone. And I was like, I don't have any family here. I don't have any other friends here. I can't ask anyone to pick me up from surgery. And so I called my mom after I got out and I just bawled my eyes out. And I was just like, I'm so alone. I can't do this anymore. Like, anyway,
cry,
bit of a meltdown. Cry baby. This is a sad.
I am always here for you.
Me. This is a real.
I will never go to work.
This is a real sad story. I'm not like, and you just call me cry baby.
I would cancel work for you any day.
Yeah, I know. But it was like in the moment, I was just like, wow, I really am alone in this place. And it made me feel for people who actually are alone, that don't have someone that can pick them up from surgery. How horrible would that feeling be? Being like, I actually don't have anyone that can pick me up. Like, yeah. That's sad.
We see that a lot in
we do.
World.
And it's really sad. So I felt for those people. So yeah, I had a little bit of a homesick moment this week, but you know, my mom sent me this really cute message and was just like, we're lucky to be loved. We're lucky to have each other. We're lucky to be alive and just still be able to talk and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, Bless you, Mum. So, yeah.
It's going to be so good when you get to see her. Yeah. Fan bam. Her fan bam are in Sydney, by the way. So, yeah. Obviously, COVID going on right now.
And my mum was, like, getting teary on the phone, too. She's like, you know, I'd be there and see if I could be. She's like, I don't want to be here. She's like, I want to be there with you. And I was like, oh, Mum.
It's pulling the heartstrings everywhere.
It is, yeah.
Oh, anyway, well, that's my story. It's booked in 2nd of November.
It is. But I also upgraded my premium cover. So, now I get more money back. So, it's not going to cost me as much as I thought. So, happy days.
That's so good. And I'm going to take a day off and take care of her.
Yeah.
And, make you soup, and actually, I'm just going to give you cancer minestrone.
And she's going to take so many videos of me being off my face. So stay tuned for those.
That's going to be great. Mm. Love that one. Mm-hmm. Well, my spill the tea is a lot. I mean, definitely in a different direction to yours.
But that's fine.
Anyway, I work in recovery most of the time, and I was in recovery just during this week, and I had a patient come out, and all the time, like, I always look at the patient. And obviously I'm focusing on their airway and stuff, but then I have a look and I kind of think in my head, I wonder how old this guy is. Right. And he was a very attractive man. Mm. Nice broad shoulders.
Hello,
like,
darling.
I mean, they're unconscious and I'm perving on them. It's pretty bad. Like, oh, yeah. But I mean, I'm a woman. Of course I am going to. Anyway, very attractive man. And then I looked and I saw he was 42 and I thought to myself, whoa, I seem to always go for younger guys. I don't know what it is. I'm 30 now and I still seem to date 20. Don't judge me, like 22 to 26 year olds. It's very strange. I don't know why I do it. I've always done it. Just love the babies.
You're just a young soul, though, I also think. Like, yes. you like to have fun. And I think younger guys are more like the people who are going to be more adventurous, more fun. Yes. They haven't got any kids, they haven't settled down anywhere. So they're more, you know, they're more up like your style.
That
I
totally
guess.
Makes sense. Yeah. Because I find that sometimes guys in their like 30s or early 30s, they just super like want to settle and have a baby.
Career.
And like
orientated.
They're already going gray. And I'm just like, whoa. And they're like so tired by 8 o'clock. And I'm like, dude, nah, I can't do that. So yeah, that's definitely why I'm more keen on the younger guys. But anyway, I saw this guy and I was like, 42. Whoa. I'm so attracted to him. Anyway, hadn't even had a discussion with him yet. I mean, he had an LMA in his mouth, for goodness sake. He was unconscious with a tube in. So pulled the tube out.
His shoe is slipping his number into his pocket.
Here I am pulling his tube out while slipping my number in his pocket. Anyway, I was doing my job very well. Took his tube out and yeah, he became conscious and I was like talking to him, like, how are you feeling? And he kept being like, oh, whoa, like, where am I? We're having good chats. Anyway, it turns out that, yes, he was divorced, had a partner for 7 years, got 2 kids. We're having a good chat. And anyway, we were definitely getting our flirt on. And nothing happened because I'm very professional in my workplace and I just let that slide. But I was talking to some of the colleagues after and I was like, wow, like I'm so attracted to that guy and he's 42. That's so unlike me. So on my Bumble profile, instead of like the 32, which I had originally, I've increased it to 40. Actually 42. I'm pretty sure it was 42.
Yes. Because in case he comes up.
Yes, exactly. Because he actually said to me, because I said I was single, he was like, oh, you're on the old Tinder? And I was like, oh, no, I don't do Tinder. I was like, oh, but I'm more like Bumble. And so I've dropped it to him.
Maybe you should get Tinder and just put the age from 42 to 42 and see if he comes up.
I mean, that's a really smart way.
Yeah, that's a really smart way to find him.
But anyway, now I'm too scared to swipe because I don't like talking to too many people at once. Like, it's just, it gets a little bit
stressful.
Overwhelming. So I've increased the age bracket and I'm like, holy moly, there are some sexy dudes in their late 30s to early 40s.
Yeah.
So that's expanded my mind.
Yep.
With the dating world now. Love it.
She's opening the avenues to any realm.
And I was talking to a patient just this week and we were chatting about dating and stuff. And she said that her sister went on 138 dates until she found her guy.
Yeah.
And I love that.
We've got a lot to go.
I've got so many more to go. But, like, realistically, that's a pretty, like, that's a good number. I mean, I don't want to have that many dates, but, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah.
And now, so I've discussed with Zana. We're still actually counting because I'm having a bit of brain freeze and I don't actually
there's a lot of dates in there. So I've got to, like, go back and
I'm a really spontaneous person. When I talk to someone, I'm like, boom, let's go on a date right now. So we're trying to track how many dates I've been on since Brisbane. I've got two. Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I've got 8 so far. 8 dates. These are like, I've had multiple dates with some of these people. It's not 8 different guys, but so far 8. So I'm thinking I'll get the official number soon.
Yeah.
And then we can keep track on this every week. And, you know, I can tell you guys, I mean, if I get to like 138, I mean, at least you guys can join me along the journey.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you find your guy, we're going to be like here rooting for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also looking for a guy, but I'm not going to count the dates, but we'll definitely go along with the journey. I mean, I could. I can't even think how many dates I've had since I've been in Brisbane. I think it's 2. So Haven't really been so successful with the dates, but I've got a couple lined up this week, so stay tuned.
Yeah, we're trying to get out there. We got it, you know. We're young, single, fabulous.
So everyone interested in this episode, we're going to start talking about our dating stories first and then head into some nursing stories towards the end. So if you're more interested in the nursing, zoom ahead. If you're more interested in the dating, then stay tuned because we're going to tell you some and we're going to give you a little couple of each of our little cute dating stories. So a couple of the ones that spring to mind for me is I obviously talked about my kind of relationship breakdown or marriage breakdown on the last episode. For anyone who didn't hear it, go back and listen. Because it's a bit of a long story.
What's it called? Get Your Travel On.
Yeah, Get Your Travel On. Because I can't really rehash it because it's a very long, long tangled story. But pretty much straight after I broke up with my ex, I had obviously had a few months break. It was lockdown, everything like that. And then I decided, you know what? I've never done dating apps before. Decided to download Hinge or Bumble or whatever it was. And I met this guy on Hinge. And it was mid COVID. So literally the only thing that you can do really is walking dates. So we planned to do this walking date. He lived on the beaches, the northern beaches of Sydney. So it was super beautiful. I went and met him at his house and we went for this huge walk up to like the Split Bridge and all around there, if anyone knows that area. And we just got along so well. We actually walked for 15 kilometers.
Damn.
15 kilometers. He's like, do you want to turn around? I was like, no, I might as well keep going. We walked for so long. I don't even think I'd had breakfast at this point. We ended up finishing the walk at like 11:30 or midday. And we're both starving. So we went back to his house and then he's like, do you want to get lunch? So we like went to the supermarket together, like to the shopping center, like we were dating. We'd like known each other for a couple of hours. We went and got like takeaway sushi and went back to his house. And then we were eating the takeaway sushi. And I don't even know how or what happened between them, but somehow we obviously ended up in bed together. So was mom and dad, if you're listening to this. But
I was wondering if you're going to say
that. Yeah.
Part of me was like, ooh, is she going to go down that path?
Yeah, I mean, like they're going to hear this. Like at some point, if they're going to listen to this, you know, and I mean, I've probably told them anyway. So me and my family have a very open door policy, open sex policy.
Yeah,
we talk about anything. It doesn't really matter. They're very open and accepting. So they're going to hear it anyway. And they've read all my blogs. So I mean, I think they already know what's going on.
I mean, she has a blog up about orgasms. On, yeah.
So they already know.
So
they don't want to be a sexologist. So, you know, soz, but not soz. and so, yeah, we obviously slept together that day and we actually the date was 12 hours long, 12 hours of like constantly talking, constantly being together. I've never had a date ever this long in my life. Like obviously I've been with my ex when we first had our first date. I think we were in the restaurant for 4 or 5 hours, which I thought was pretty decent, but 12 hours, ridiculous. We were in bed together and he was like already asking the names that our children were going to be named. Like we had like this, I don't know, maybe it went over like 3 weeks. We had this like 3 week relationship that was probably acted like as if we were bed together for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like everything that we went through in that time was like we were together for 5 years. I actually had seen him. I think it was the third time I saw him. I went over to his house and we played trivia with his best friends, a Zoom trivia with his friends. And I was on video and he was sitting there with his hand on my knee. Like we'd only seen each other like 2 times before. Like we were like full relationship zone.
Damn.
It was like, and then it like ended. Like he told me about his mum dying. He told me about all this intimate stuff. We played all these games together and like got to know each other. And then it just fizzled out. And we're just like, wow, that was like a good 5 year relationship in 3 weeks.
That's nice. And then you're like, catch ya. I'm going to be a travel nurse now.
Yeah.
Bye, amigo.
I mean, he was lovely, but you know, he obviously has issues.
Perfect for what he had just been through. Like you just wanted to be treated right and be comfortable. Yeah. And
it was COVID times.
So nice. So nice.
Like I wasn't going to find anything in that situation anyway. And he was lonely. I was lonely. We'd both spent so much time alone in COVID. Yeah. It was kind of like this companionship that just like, you know, filled the void for a while until things went back to normal.
Love that.
And I think a lot of people have these COVID relationships that like everyone gets super, super close and like during COVID or lockdowns because there's nothing else to do but be with these people.
Yeah.
And you get super close and it either works in their favor or it kind of is like, oh, well, that just filled that void for now. And
I
then
everyone's had a little COVID relationship. Oh, I mean, I had a 4 month COVID relationship.
That's a long COVID relationship.
Yeah. And I look back. I mean, obviously it didn't like we're not together now. And I was upset about that. But as we both went through our own ways. But like I so look back and I like appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we had each other during that time because it was like so nice. And you know, you had like a boyfriend, but not a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So you just got to just embrace
it. And I just needed, times. I needed like reassurance that like the whole entire male population wasn't shit.
Assholes.
Yeah. And so like, I think I needed that reassurance, someone that actually was like interested in me and like wanted to spend 12 hours with me. And like, it was just easy.
Yeah.
And it was nice. And like, I needed that after being with someone for so long. It was kind of like the nice transition, you know?
I love that. Mm. I don't really know which story to tell after that one, really.
Well, we've got a whole episode, darling.
Okay. there was this one guy. I wanted to tell this one because it's really funny.
Yeah, you have to.
So I use online dating a lot, and it's not, I don't use it just to date. Like, you know, I use it to like hang out with people.
Meet new people.
Makes sense. Yeah, meet new people and actually hang out. Like, first you got to meet someone and build a friendship, and then yeah, if you like them, you can go on a date with them. Like, it's not always a date situation.
Yeah.
You can just go out for a drink with someone as a friend. You don't have to think to yourself that this has to be a date.
And I think if you do think like that, then you're putting you're basically setting yourself up for disaster, thinking every single person that you go on, that something's going to happen. Like, you don't owe these people anything. They don't owe you anything. It's just you're meeting up to see if you vibe. If you don't, you don't. If you do, you do.
And the thing is, realistically, if you end up being together with that person, you want to make sure that you're friends with that person first. Like, you know, you want your partner to be one of your best friends, right? So you've got to make sure that you even cross that friendship boundary. So I use Bumble and Tinder I don't like Tinder at all, to be retract that.
Neither.
I just say it so you know what I'm talking about. But like, Bumble is my jam. I love Bumble and I use it all the time. So like, I was in one of my contracts, like at a spot in one of my contracts, and I was talking to this guy and he wanted to catch up on one of the nights that I had my day off. And I was like, look, I can't, because I had just bought a bicycle, and the cleaning people that came to the house that I was staying in, so someone had moved out and the cleaners come to clean it, and I made really nice friends with them. They're just so cute. I just make friends really quickly for some reason. And they had actually offered to take me to Kmart so I could buy my bike so I could take it home in their car. Yeah. So that was really cute of them.
Yeah.
So they took me to Kmart after they had cleaned the apartment, and I bought my bike, and then we took it back to the house, and then I realized as I was going to buy it, I didn't have any tools. I had no tools to build this bike. I thought like the little Allen key would come inside the box, and I was like, oh, you
that is
proper
the problem
tools.
With all these furniture things, fantastic furniture, bikes. They just assume that you have shit.
Yeah. And I mean, I travel with a suitcase, so I didn't have a screwdriver handy. No. I mean, right now I do because I'm an independent woman, but I didn't at the time.
And you got a trailer.
And I have a trailer now, so I've got to have tools.
Yeah, she's basically set up.
So set up now. This was back when I was 27. and so I was talking to this guy and I was like, look, I can't because I've got to build this bike. And he was like, oh, like, I would love to help you with the bike. He's like, why don't we go out for dinner and like, and then after, oh no, we went for lunch. Sorry. So he goes, why don't we go out for lunch? And then I'll come back and I'll build your bike. And I was like, I mean, yeah,
I don't know you, but okay.
Yeah, sure. So we went out, and cause I wanted to check out the restaurants where I was living, and I was brand new to the place. So I was like, I felt a little bit funny at that time. Now I'm so independent. I can eat wherever I want. I don't care, by myself, but it's nerve wracking initially. So I was like, yes, I'd love to go check out this restaurant with you, sit down and like enjoy this meal. And then afterwards, we're having a glass of wine. Then he was like, oh, no, I don't want to drink any more wine. Oh, FYI, he was French, by the way. He was like fully French. And I'm very bad at imitating. You know how bad I am at doing accents. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try, because this is all
mon ami.
This is all about my voice right now. So I can't even get away with it. Anyway, imagine like thick French accent. Anyway, he was like, no, I can't drink any more wine, because he's like, I really want to focus on building a bike. And I was like, wow, this guy's like,
I really
like
want
dedicated.
To focus on the building your bike. Is that how he sounded? I really want to address.
I mean, yeah, you're doing a great job.
Oui, oui.
Great job. Oui, oui. Anyway, we went back and he started building the bike, and he was so into building this bike. Like, I tell you now, this was not a sexual gathering at all. Like, a lot of people would think, oh, he's coming back to your house to like bang you. Like, no, he actually was
came for the bike,
right? Anyway, he built the bike and I was so excited. And yes, we had a little kiss after, because after he built the bike, he was so proud. And I'm a very excitable person. I was like jumping up and down, like, oh my God, my bike. And he goes, I'm so glad I made you happy. Like,
oh.
And then so, yeah, funny story. I end up making out with him. And then I said to him, how funny, I'm Frenching a French guy. I was like, and I go, I'm Frenching a Frenchie. And he was like, he didn't get what I was saying.
He's like,
and I was
what?
Like, don't you get it? I was like, and then that's when I knew there was no future for us, because you didn't get my jokes, for goodness sake.
That was like a good joke too.
It was hilarious.
It was like the basicest of French jokes you could ever say, and he didn't get it.
I was a French guy, man. It was funny.
And that was epic.
I know. Anyway, He was one of those backpacker people that, you know, they were only there for a little bit of time. So he ended up going away anyway.
Backpacker so, people. There are people.
What are they called? They're like, they come on a visa. They're in the farms.
Backpackers.
Yeah, that's just a word, isn't it? Anyway.
I don't know what else they're called.
Just the people that
nomads.
Are just, yeah, they're kind of nomads too, aren't they?
That's the only reason immigrants.
I
didn't
keep seeing him, because I was working like crazy hours at the hospital, and then he was working crazy hours, what he does, and then at a solar farm, I think it was. Ooh. And then they all shared like a car each, like they didn't have their own car, right. So it was very difficult to try and catch up, but
yeah,
I was so grateful. So I mean,
you got a bike out of it.
I mean, when we post about this podcast, I'll put some pictures up of what we're talking about, some memes, and you can see I've got a video and a picture of him building my bike.
Yeah, and I think this episode needs to be called Jess French is a Frenchie.
Oh, excellent. That's the name. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it. That's yeah, I've got photos of him. Like, he's a great guy. I wonder what happened to him. I wonder if he went back to,
what happened to him?
France. I don't know.
What happened, Frenchie? Are you out there?
But anyway, I got this beautiful yellow bike, and I got to go all around the town that I was staying in at that time, and then I donated that bike and gave it to someone else.
Wow, look at that, full circle.
Yeah. And I've seen that bike. I've gone back there for contracts and I've seen that bike.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And I'm like, whoa, it's like this vintage looking yellow bike with a little basket. It's gone places. Yeah, it's gone places.
Seen them.
Cost
some
me
things.
$120 and it is going places.
Is it from Reed? Reed Cycles?
Nah, from Tajay.
Oh, Tajay.
Yeah, Tajay.
Yeah, I had a similar one. I think it was exactly the same, but it was Aqua.
Oh,
it was good. And then I sold it when me and my ex broke up, because I was like, I don't want any memories.
Oh, one time I made a smoothie though, and I was going to work and I put the smoothie in the basket and I went over a bump and the bloody lid popped off.
Of course that happened to you.
And went all over my face. I show you, I'm sorry. All over my face and hair. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, it actually I could actually did. See that happening to you. You're like, so you're like bad. The most accident prone, or like.
It was so bad.
Yes, I can just
imagine.
And
I got
that.
To work and I was just like, oh, and thank God I worked in theater at the time. So I could just put on a scrub hat and just wash my face and just get on with my day. But I went home and I had the crispiest hair from that smoothie. And oh, disgusting. Yeah. So I don't have good memories of that bike. And where we were in New South Wales, that's where the contract was, there's things called cat heads, which are like gigantic bindies, which are basically have three gigantic horns with poison in it.
Poison?
And yeah, if you step on that, like, good luck to you.
What?
Yeah, they're nasty.
I've never heard of that.
And so when you're riding a bike in that town, you get
like, fuck your tires up.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I got like three flat tires and I was done. So yeah, I gave that bike away and I was like, you know what? No. Good luck, bike.
No, see ya. See ya, bye.
Yeah, funny story. I didn't buy. Oh, and then one of the anaesthetists was actually helping me with, they put some stuff in your tire to like help prevent the cat heads from getting in.
Oh, okay.
So I took it to his house after work and he was like doing that thing for me. And then he was like, wow, I'm so impressed that you built this by yourself, Jess. Like, you even got the brakes and everything. I did. And then I eventually caved and I was like, oh no, I ended up getting some help. And he's like, you've been here like a week. Like, who helped you? And I was like, oh, I just met some backpackers at the park. Like, I just was like, oh, I made some friends with some backpackers. He's like, so funny. That's really nice. Like, they've done a really good job. I was like, yeah, I can't take the credit for
that. That's hilarious.
No way.
Well, actually, like, I wasn't even going to tell the story, but now that you're talking about that outback town that we both went to, did you even say where the town was? Or we're just not going to, we're going to leave it MIA.
Yeah, MIA.
Okay. So this town that we went, that we both actually went to on separate contracts, but not at the same time. And we didn't know that we both went to these contracts until we met. I actually dated this guy in this town and he was a policeman of the town. And he was ridiculous, ridiculous. His body was next level. I met him on Tinder.
I also met him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is where the story is going. So I met him on Tinder. I was only there for 6 weeks and I was like, also had just basically moved away from Sydney. It was like the first time I was away from home. I was like, you know what? No one knows me here. I'm just going to have some fun. Went on a couple of dates. We went down to like this national park area and we went down to the beach and tanned on the beach and he took his shirt off and I was like, whoa. Anyway,
by the way, there's no beach there. You definitely mean the lake, right?
I mean, there was some sand.
I was gonna say there was no freaking beach. No, where
yeah,
we were,
it was
mate.
No beach. It was like literally in the outback, but
anyway,
there was
any
a piece of
the
water. Yeah, anyway, he took his shirt off and then we had like a little picnic. Anyway, then I dated him a couple more times and it just kind of ended weirdly. Another sexual relationship issue. It just kind of ended a bit strangely and it kind of fizzled out from there. But then I met Jess and I was telling her about this guy and I was like, oh my God, I dated this really hot cop in this town. And she's like, what? She's like, was his name this? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh my God, what? I looked after him in emergency after he had this massive accident this cop accident where their car rolled and he got glass all in his arm, right?
Yeah, and I was so excited. I got to pick all the glass out of his arm.
She got to pick glass out of his arm, but I dated that guy. I did all of it.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And she was like, damn, I'm jealous.
I had sex dreams about him, I tell you. Oh, Jesus.
Well, I had actual sex.
Yeah, well, Jesus, I didn't get to get that far. But I got to pull shards of glass out of his just, like, delicious arms.
Like, we're telling you, this guy had no fat. It was like
it was very lean.
Very lean and very attractive. But anyway.
Oof, what dreams are made of.
So, yeah,
that's my story. Should be quite honest. Just because they look so amazing doesn't mean.
Well, he clearly wasn't amazing. He's a bit odd.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's obviously why things did not work out.
I keep looking over at the window. I keep forgetting that our pot plant that is in a butt vase
yeah.
is getting some sunlight over there.
Yeah, we have this plant that, like, lives in the bathroom, but we don't have a window in our bathroom, so it doesn't get any sun. And every, like, week or so, it just gets really sad, and it just, like, droops, and it's like, I want sun, please. So I move him out, and then I put the butt on the little windowsill.
It's actually like a vase. It's a butt. So
yeah, it's pretty great. Get it from Cotton On.
I love it so much. Just love it's seeing so good. That little butt. Oh, so cute.
So, yeah, next one for you, Jess. You're up.
Good. I'm up already. I mean, just so you know, episode one. The Be Your Own Hype Girl. I shared a really funny story
that was about a great my date story.
With Aladdin. Like, that is one of the funniest stories I've I think, like, through.
Ever in anyone's life. So anyone's funny. Life.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, this is just a light positive one, okay? Because we've been rambling for a bit. I was in a very, very, very small town of like 4,000 people. And I matched with this guy in another town that was like an hour away with like a lot bigger population. And I was like going there anyway, cause I was donating blood. And so I was like, yeah, okay, let's catch up. I was like, I'll donate my blood and then we'll have some burgers and we'll catch up, you know? So I like to just keep it real, just a quick catch up. That's not too much pressure. Like, just getting a burger.
Yeah.
Super easy. Right. So I got some okay vibes, and then we were chatting that night after we'd hung out. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the snow tomorrow with my friends. And I was like, what the hell? It's like not snowing here. Like, how are you doing that? And then he said, this is where we're going. So I looked at my map and it was like maybe 2 hours from where I am. So like an hour from where he was. And there was legit snow. And like, I went to Switzerland and I saw a little bit of snow, but I've never really experienced snow.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell? Anyway, he was like, oh, like, do you want to maybe like go together? And I was like, okay. I was like, hills to the yeah. So anyway, his friends end up bailing. They didn't even end up going. And so I went to where he was and picked him up, and we went and spent the whole day in the snow. And I got so to crazy. Have a little picnic, and there's like, I've got the cutest photos of me in the snow and making a little, like, aww. What are those little dudes called?
Snowman. That you make?
Snowman. Yeah. And I got to be a little kid, and I got to have that amazing experience. And that's such an awesome experience I got to have. And it's all because of online dating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because I actually went out of my way and I like made friends. And I mean, yeah, he definitely wanted more. It wasn't going to go down that path, but still an incredible memory. And I'm so, so grateful. So yeah, I just thought I'd end on a nice light one.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too deep. I've got some really deep ones, but we've got a lot of podcasts quite funny. To go.
So like, I was in another small town, like while I was on my contracts, and I'd seen this guy who worked at like the local pub, and he was just so hot. And every time I went there, I was just like, oh my God, he's so hot. And then we went there one time for like an event. It was like an F45 event thing. It was like the end of term celebration or whatever it was. And I went there and I was not drinking because I was working that night. And so I went for a Diet Coke, and I got my friend a beer, and I had a Diet Coke, and he like didn't charge me for it. He's like, no, like, it's fine. You don't have to pay for that one.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, fine. No worries. And then that was fine. I like had the event, and then I went to work, and I thought nothing of it. And then I think it was the next weekend, I'd met some girlfriends from the hospital, some other nurses, and we all kind of decided to have this night out. We went to this really nice restaurant. And I was just like joking around. I was like, oh, we should probably just go to that pub. Like, what if that guy's working? Like, maybe we can see him. And I just didn't think anything of it, because I was like, obviously, even if I see him, you know, like little, like girls do things like that. They're like, I want to go there because like that guy's really cool, but like, you know, nothing's ever going to come of it. We'll do the little eye contact or whatever. Anyway, we met up with these girls, and I was telling them about it. And I was like, oh, I find this really, like, this guy that works at this hotel really hot. And then one of them was like, oh, like, he's my friend. Like, I have him on Instagram. He actually messaged me early asking what I was doing tonight, because he's not working. No, and he was like in town, like in this town. And then we were at dinner, and he messaged her while we were at dinner. Like, this, we had not talked. She had not talked to him about any of this. And he messaged her while we're at dinner being like, oh, hey, I'm at this hotel tonight, like where he works. But he's like, I'm not working. I'm actually here waiting for some friends. We're having a night out. Like, do you want to come join us? While we were at dinner. And I was like, what is this like meant to be or something? So when we went there and like met him and I was like, oh God, like he's so attractive. And we met up and we had this like fun night together. We were all drinking together and like whatever. And then anyway, he ended up staying the night at my house. Things progressed obviously into that situation. I don't really know how it happened. We obviously had the vibes there. We both were attracted to each other. How that happened, I don't know. Then the next morning, well, thank you. He was 23. At the time I was 27.
Young boys.
And the next morning he was like, oh, like, can you drop me at my grandparents' house? Cause like he didn't have a car or anything. Obviously had a car. And I was like, yeah, sure, that's fine. So I was driving him home and he's Italian. So like everyone who lives in this town is Italian. So if you don't even know what the town is, you'll know by just me saying that they're all Italian. So he was like, oh, but like, can you drop me off around the corner? Because like my grandparents are very traditional and like I don't want them seeing that I'm pulling up with a white girl basically. And I was like, right.
With a white girl.
He didn't say white girl, but he basically insinuated because I wasn't Italian.
You're not Italian.
He didn't want his grandparents seeing me. And he was like, oh, wow. I'm just like super respectful. And he's like, he was in the same clothes as he was the night before. So we had to somehow sneak in the back of his like of his grandparents' place and come up with some excuse as to why he didn't come home that night.
Oh wow.
And yeah, it was just really funny. And I was just like, oh my God, he's like a baby. And also I can't be seen by his grandparents.
Gosh, no. God, awkward. Love that. I know. Love that.
Hilarious though.
Yeah. Mm. But man, just prepare because we're going to have so many dating stories.
Yeah. So that's just a little sneak peek.
Just a sneak peek. Just some I mean, I wish I could drop my Aladdin one again. That's just going to, oh, so funny.
I feel like, the weirdest thing is that the more people you tell about it, the more people say that they've seen that guy.
I know. Everyone seems to know who Aladdin is in Brisbane. Yeah. It's freaking hilarious. So when I told them the rest of the story, they're like, what? Like, it's just hilarious.
Yeah, so you got to go back and listen to that one, please.
Yeah, please do. So now we thought we would kind of drop some nursing stories.
Yeah.
Because obviously we are travel nurses and that's why we started the podcast.
And they're hilarious.
But we like to talk about dating and us because, I mean, we're entertaining.
Make sure both. We're not just nurses.
Yeah. Mm. So a really funny one that I would like to share. And I feel like I'm definitely not the only one that's done this. Like, I mean, I hope to God I'm not the only one that's done this. So if you have, can you please tell me that you've done this? I felt like
should we IMS it? Should we do a little, what do you call it?
I mean, someone probably IMS me for this, to be honest. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, it's also called Risk Man.
Risk IMS Man, yeah.
And Risk Man. We know that because we work in multiple states. Well, far as
special.
So when I was that makes it actually worse because I wasn't a student. I was a grad. so I was a grad nurse and I was helping a little old lady like with her shower and stuff. And I was like very big on mouth care. And I was like, oh, here you go. Like, give me your dentures and I'll give them a wash.
Care.
Yeah, no, you got it. God, it makes you feel great. Especially those dentures. Like people really neglect.
But imagine putting in dentures. Some minty dentures. You'd be like, damn, that's good.
Mm. Yeah. And that's how I think, you know, because I think about what I would like when I'm a patient in a hospital. And if that was my grandparent or if that was my mother or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have a nice shower and stuff. But like when they've got dentures, like, they take them out and they usually soak them and give them a good clean and then put them back in and damn, you'll feel amazing.
100%.
I mean, if you just brush your own teeth, you feel damn amazing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, give me your dentures. And I had a little cup and like she gave them to me and then I was talking to her and I had them in the sink and I was giving him a nice scrub. Anyway, as I was talking to her and I was cleaning them, I kind of felt like a little resistance and I was like, oh, this is weird. Anyway, I was like scrubbing harder and I was like, this is weird. And I was putting like a little extra toothpaste on there. I was like, okay, I really just want to scrub these so good. For her, because like I care about her, right? Because she's my patient. Anyway, it just got thicker and the friction was getting real intense. And I kind of looked and I was like, what is going on? Like, what is all this stuff on these dentures? I was like, ew, like what the hell was in her mouth? Because there's all this gunk all over her dentures.
Yeah.
Then I kind of realized that the gunk that was on the dentures, I was actually creating. And as I was pouring some more toothpaste, which what I thought was toothpaste, onto the dentures. And continuing to scrub, I was like, whoa, it's actually getting worse. What I'm doing right now, I'm registering that I'm the one doing this. And I was like, hang on a minute, pause. And I like stared and I still don't really remember the brand of it. I think it's Polident toothpaste, which is actually the adhesive.
Is it called Polident toothpaste?
No, it's actually just the adhesive, but
right. It
was in a toothpaste tube.
But where do you put the adhesive? What is that for?
So you put the adhesive on the top of the denture plate so that when you pop it in, it just sits there more firmly, right? Okay. I didn't know this. I didn't know people with dentures even had this. I didn't know it existed. No, I don't think they have to use it. I think they just choose to use it. Yeah. I still, to this day, really need to study dentures. But I was using that Polydent stuff that I thought was toothpaste but was actually adhesive cream stuff all over the dentures. So I had put glue all over them.
Can you not get it off?
No.
So what about when they stick it into their mouth? It never comes off?
Well, I don't know, but I started freaking out. And then she was like, oh, my God. And I was like, oh, my God, I can soak them. I'm like, oh, my God, I've ruined your denture. She's like, it's okay, sweetie. And I was getting so upset that I was like on the verge of tears. And I was like, oh, my God, I've just put it because it felt like super glue stuff. Like I was like, oh, my God, I've put this all over your dentures. Like she can't even put them back in now because they were absolutely covered in glue. Anyway, I felt terrible. She kept reassuring me like, it's okay. If I need a new pair, it's fine. Aww. And I was like beside myself. So now I'm very careful to look at when I clean anyone's dentures, which is actually very rare these days, to be honest, because I do a lot of recovery and stuff in ED, but I always look to make sure that it says goddamn toothpaste.
So that's a good one to think of and remember.
Make sure it says toothpaste. Just because it's in a toothpaste tube, do not
does not mean it's toothpaste.
It is toothpaste, okay? It could be glue.
And then you get fucked up.
Yeah. So just, you know, putting that vibe out there, just check that because it's always stayed with me. Like check 9 years out. Yeah, check it before you wreck it, okay?
Just please do it. Do it for Jess.
What have you got? What nursing story you got?
Oh, my one's pretty gross, but kind of funny at the same time, but also not really funny because like it's pretty messed up. So I had this guy when I was working in the city in Sydney and he was from jail and he actually came in because he had ingested all of these razor blades. So it's a bit controversial. I mean, we've worked in a jail and I've never actually seen this happen personally, but the fact that he is able to have razor blades when he's in an isolated area by himself and he ends up ingesting 12 razor blades. Not really sure how he gets them, whether it's the guards or the other inmates. Either way, it's concerning, but we never saw like officers actually giving anyone razor blades, but there was some talk that they were doing it for fun and actually watching him and like playing games at the fact that he would swallow these razor blades.
Oh gosh.
But this was a jail in Sydney. So I don't know if it's something maybe that the Sydney officers do. I don't know. Anyway, pretty messed up. So he came in and he had multiple presentations of swallowing these razor blades. To the point that he had now had a stoma because he'd had so many bowel resections and so many bowel surgeries that he ended up having to get a stoma because he swallowed so many of them.
So bad. And what is a stoma? Just for people that aren't.
So a stoma is basically when they bring your intestine out into the wall of your abdomen and they basically create a butthole for you, really. It's like a butthole on your stomach.
It is a butthole that comes outside of your stomach.
Yeah. So they basically cut off the other end of your intestine. So they close it up, whichever end that might be, however far up that might be. They close off that other end so you don't poo rectally. So that's
that
closed
it's
off.
Like a butthole because I never even thought of it like that.
It even looks like a butthole.
A great one. It does look like a butthole. That's so
because
funny.
It is a butthole. That's basically where a butthole is.
And they put a little, like a poo baggie on the outside.
Yeah. So instead of pooing into a toilet, obviously you can't poo into a toilet from your stomach because you can't plan it. So the reason that you can go to the toilet on normal toilet is because you have sphincter muscles and you can hold it in. And when you want to go to the toilet, you can push it out. But unfortunately, when they bring it out into your little fake butthole, you can't push it out because there's no muscles there for it to be pushed out. So it just comes out by itself. So they basically put a bag on it and it's basically like, your intestines go out into your
And sometimes you don't absorb foods very well as well. Yeah. So it just comes straight out, right?
Yeah. So anyway, this guy ended up having a stoma because he'd had so many that he'd basically ruined his intestinal tract. So then he came in this time, he actually, instead of ingesting these razor blades, he decided to cut his stoma open. And he cut his stoma open so bad that he then pulled his own intestines out through the butthole, through his stoma. And it was just like intestines everywhere. So they had to like shove the intestines back in and he had to come back into ICU and he was tubed and it was just so messed up. His stoma was even fucked. So they didn't even really know what he was going to
do. So where are they going to put another butthole, really?
They can't. They're going to have to keep
every butthole.
Literally, you're going to have to keep resecting until there's nothing left to resect. And then unfortunately, that guy is not going to live a very long life.
Jesus.
But yeah, it was pretty crazy. Very interesting thing to see because the stoma is so large because he's cut it open so many times. They can't keep it like the size of a butthole. It's like a loose butthole.
He's in prison, so
it's like
you
a saggy ass hole. It just like flops around. Half of the intestines already is poking out because it can't stay in there because he's cut it open so many times. It was an interesting thing to see. And I also have a photo. So if anyone actually wants to see, hit us up.
Off his butthole.
Off his fake butthole. And it's extremely messed up. So I think
only
executive exclusive nurses can see it, because I think everyone else will pass out.
I am so upset that you've not shown me.
I will show you
straight after this podcast episode. Yeah. I'm going to be seeing that butthole.
But also, these officers, they had three or four officers at once sitting outside his room, because an ICU, I don't know what it is, or whether it's just Sydney in general, they usually have four officers that are there. Mm-hmm. And all they did all day is eat KFC. They're like these giant Samoans and giant Islanders, and they just like sat around eating KFC. And I was like, meanwhile, this guy's like got a butthole outside of his body, and he's cutting it open.
Like, I'm hungry. Yeah. Jeez, so that's funny. Mm. Also, I just thought before we end this episode, because
we've talked a lot. Yeah.
I just want you to tell people we used to work in a prison, FYI, so you guys know. That's how we met.
Yeah.
We worked in this prison in March, and what did the inmates used to call you again?
Xanax. So it actually happened one day. I was at the window. I was out somewhere, and one of the guys called out my name. And I thought he said Xanax, because I was like, he said my name weirdly. And I was like, do you just call me Xanax? And he's like, what? No. He's like, I called you Xanax. And I was like, oh my God, I think you just called me Xanax. And he's like, oh, Xanax, that's your name now. And I was like, oh, great. I just made this name for myself.
It did spread.
Literally stuck. It was like this. Yeah. He was like this tiny little Asian guy, but he was like super muscly. He was like this little squat, muscly dude. And he was like, oh, yeah, but hey, Xanax. Every time he saw me, hey, Xanax.
Oh, God, I know exactly.
And then, And then I told my friends at this COVID vaccination place about it, and everyone calls me Xanax. So now it's spreading around Brisbane too. So
funny, because she was actually showing me a message that they had messaged her, and I was like, did they just call you Xanax? And she's like, yeah, I told them the story. I was like, okay, because like, why is everyone calling you Xanax all the time?
But they were like, at least it means to like calm people down. You're like a calming influence.
I remember one of the inmates was like saying to me, because you had said that he was going to get a Band-Aid from me.
Yeah.
When he came to medical, he's like, oh no, the other nurse, you know, the Xanax one. And I was like, oh. I know exactly who you're talking about. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, it's Xana. But anyway, just call it Xanax. Funny. Yeah. It's funny.
So anyway, if you guys want to call me Xanax, feel free.
Oh, Xanax. Love it.
Hilarious.
But anyway, we're going to wrap up now, because we've rambled and we've told you some.
I know. We kind of got distracted on the dating stories and didn't tell him any nursing stories. But we promise we will add some more next time.
Yes.
But this one's just a funny dating one, and just something lighthearted for your Friday.
Yes.
Adding some flavor to your Friday before your new weekend. Hopefully none of us go into lockdown this weekend. Fingers crossed.
Well, in Brisbane anyway, because there were cases and
But if you are in lockdown, then you obviously have ample time to listen to this podcast. Yes. So we hope you're listening.
And give us feedback. We love it. Please give us feedback.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure once again. So anyone out there, please raise your glass. And we're raising a glass to life, love and laughter as always.
Hey.
And thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you, guys. See you next time.
Bye.